Mike Garcia's Hobby Game Dev Blog Post. 2020-02-29 Netaro's Setup and Programming Help. Okay, this is kind of long, so if you want the robot text-to-speech MP3 option, click here, or the top right menu. Click to view original image. 158 KB. If you need help with Netaro's info or technical help, reach out and contact me. I came across an eBay listing from an original Netaro's member. The ad reads, "Listing, I bought this in 1997. It is complete with the exception of the access card. There is a Game Shark included, which allows a workaround for this dot. It is not in pristine condition. It has been used and loved. Controllers show signs of wear. The discs are fairly scratched, but the console's in full working order, and I've owned it since new. I logged on to Twitter, I do it about once a month, and I got a tweet from Daniel Green at Simile saying that mgasha.org might have the odd input. It was about a YouTuber doing a Netaro's video. I saw this late, of course, but I watched the video, and it was good. He actually had a Japanese Netaro's, and loaded up the demos. How the Sony PlayStation Netaro's dev kit brought indie game development to consoles by modern vintage gamer. How the Sony PlayStation Netaro's dev kit brought indie game development to consoles by modern vintage gamer. He also credited http://netaroseurope.com, which is nice to see. My only really minor criticism would be what I wrote in reply tweet. Tweet NY was a 100% hobbyist and educational machine, i.e. not for business as per the T&S. Also, independent means you have a business and product and want to publish, two different things. Well, I hope that's odd enough. XD, nice video and thanks for the credit. I hate the social pressure of Twitter, and my tweets are anxiety-inducing. A simple paragraph can be interpreted in many ways, but to remove any ambiguity, I'll go into more detail here. I don't like how we project our current worldview onto the past. Admittedly, I was guilty of this. We get caught up in this world that we don't stop to think about the little things, like the words we use. But I realized a while ago that words have huge meaning, and they change over time. When the words we use become so generalized that they become so broad and diluted in meaning, it's not good. I've heard this called concept creep. I don't claim to be a game dev. Game dev is my hobby. It's an interest I've had since 1987, when I got my Commodore 64C at age 10. Today, indie is a false synonym for game dev. I say false because few can define it, and all the definitions vary from person to person. But back in 1997, independent meant something, and it meant you were a business with a product you wanted to sell, either via a publisher, or self-publishing via the internet, magazines listing, baggies, shareware, etc., etc. For more information on this, it's kind of mentioned herein. I say kind of, because it was so obvious then, that it didn't need to be mentioned explicitly. Most indies today, I would say, are really hobbyist, and there's no shame in saying so. I would like to see more people, especially young people, identifying openly as hobbyist, someone committed to learning, that they crunch and hack in their spare time, because they enjoy their hobby, great. But today, old man rant time. I would guess the loud majority of game devs that claim to be indie, I wouldn't even call hobbyist. Instead, from what I've seen, most indies have less than 1 or 2 years doing game dev. Well, in reality, very little game devving. Instead, I would say they are succeeding at the social media feedback loop. The focus has changed from the game dev as a craft, to self-identifying as a generic label while being self-important on social media. Well, back in my day, generic labels were offensive to truly creative people, and your work spoke for itself. Sigh, how times have changed. Image of workflow. Get new game ideas to start new project to tell people about it, bypassing finish project, and back to get new game ideas. End of rant. Anyway, Netaro's was not targeted at businesses. It was very clear with its marketing messaging, aimed at hobbyists and bedroom coders. It was often compared to traditional microcomputers of the 1980s, giving the user knowledge and access to the hardware and software to allow them the novelty of do-it-yourself software. But this didn't mean it was an open and unrestricted platform like most microcomputers of the 80s were, which was lightly explained, if at all, in advertisements and articles, but you would fully understand it by reading the contract you had to sign before paying for it and getting it. Sony specifically didn't want to upset the pro developers with a cheap development kit that cost only $750. In comparison, a single pro kit cost on average of $20,000, that's 26 NetYaros kits with $500 in change. So what do? You make NetYaros a pure hobbyist development kit, but how? Robert Nailsmith at Robert Nailsmith uploaded the brochure and contract for C prospective NetYaros members here, read page 8.4, affirmative obligations of members. Quote 4. Affirmative obligation of members. The NetYaros program is designed to enable individuals as opposed to corporations, or licensed commercial developers and or publishers to create PlayStation format software for personal use, to present to C, and through the Yaros server for the enjoyment of other NetYaros members. Accordingly, you promise C that you are an individual, and that you are not a corporation, a licensed commercial developer and or publisher. Additionally, you promise that you shall. END quote. The rest continues with more regulations, it's a terms of service, NDA and licensing agreement, an all-in-one beast. If you actually care to read it all, you'll quickly see it's not very indie. To be clear, there is no guarantee made by Sony to ever publish anything, you legally do not own the binaries, nor the code you make, and you can't legally distribute them either. I believe this is why very few business-minded individuals signed up. The better, or more polished-looking games created with NetYaros came from an educational environment, which could be easily organized into teams, which replicated the business approach, but without the business aspect. In comparison, very few solo devs made playable games. On a side note, the PAL regions, serviced by C, were very lucky to have great people at Sony UK that believed in the NetYaros project to go above and beyond. They organized competitions resulting in the NetYaros games being published on Optum CD-ROMs. Every time I see an article or video on NetYaros, there's two kinds of comments, the nostalgic PAL region person, or the what the hell is this person, which I would assume were NTSC region people, for once PAL region citizens can gloat, and rightfully so. D for a lot more info on NetYaros C. http://mgasha.org blog NetYaros, and http://netyarosEurope.com. Anyway, by now you'd see it's about education, and the hobby, and whether it led NetYaros members into the games industry, or not, to me was never the point, just like the microcomputers didn't make all the bedroom coders into game developers, but those that actually did do something, were definitely better coders for it. My point is that you can't really be learning, and or a hobbyist, and be an independent game developer, running a business with a product to sell. They are two very different things. Dino Dini had good advice in this regard. He was a pioneer in the 1980s, received two golden joysticks for coding his kickoff games, he went on to develop and design games, then went on to teach video game development at university. His advice is worth listening to! In fact, he recommends when learning not to develop complete games, but focusing on understanding the technology and architecture, the pillars of understanding. He goes on to say it's a good idea to separate the making of games from the practice of the principles, because if you try and do both at the same time, it's horrible. I 100% agree. Even the pros start with a tech or concept demo first, then work on finishing a game. Trying to do both concurrently would create a bit of a mess, adding indie business on top, and you have a recipe for disaster, but don't take my, or Dino Dini's, word for it, do your own research. NetYaros, for me, was about the doing, the craft of game dev, the challenge, and the experiences, the contact with others with the same purpose and goals. NetYaros was, and still is, a computer science, math and digital arts powerhouse of learning potential, although some things haven't aged well, i.e. the fixed point maths, and the clunky 3D formats, the GNU, toolchain, and core game loop are very much still the same, and valid today. It's a real shame Sony hasn't open sourced it, 23 years later. To be honest, there's new, and better hardware, and communities to learn with, and experience. Check out 32Blit, and say hi on Discord. It has the same NetYaros, quirky and geeky vibe. It's focused on the game dev craft, community and learning, completely removed from being indie. It also targets hardware, and not a proprietary software stack! Full disclosure, I'm a beta backer, but I haven't had time to open the box yet, unfortunately. Update. 28th March, I had time to unbox it and make a video. It uses text-to-speech. 32-bit, a modern-day Netgearos, retro hardware game development. 32-bit, a modern-day Netgearos, retro hardware game development. Thanks for reading. Mike. The social media feedback loop pioneer PlayStation developer. Andy Gavin comments are open.